This episode of Lawyers Tell All is brought to you by the Intake Academy. Do you know how to cement relationships with more of your ideal clients, get them to commit to you, and send you more referrals than you ever thought possible? Visit www.intakeacademy.com, where you will get the strategies you need to make the most of your marketing and advertising dollars. Plus, develop a team of intake specialists and attorneys who convert more qualified case opportunities and build meaningful relationships with prospective clients. Welcome to the Lawyers Tell All podcast. We're Chris Mullins, the preeminent sales and communications consultant in the legal industry, shows you how it looks through lawyers' eyes. Here, innovators in the trenches provide powerful insights that help you connect with new clients, handle the sometimes harsh realities of the legal profession, and embrace the mindsets needed to succeed. Be sure to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now, lean in, tune in, and let's take a deep dive.
Hello, everyone. It's Chris Mullins with Lawyers Tell All in the Intake Academy. And today I'm interviewing Jen Gore. Jen is going to introduce herself. Go for it.
Hey, Chris. Thanks so much for having me today. My name is Jen Gore, sometimes known as Jen Gore Cuthbert. I am the owner of Atlanta Personal Injury Law Group. And, I have crossed paths with you over the last several years, going to so many different trainings on how to run a law firm, how to get a better intake for our law firm. And I'm excited to be here today with you.
Yeah, awesome. Wonderful. Okay, so we're gonna get into intake and the topic of growing the firm and throwing money at marketing. But before I go there, I just wanna ask you one question. Why did you decide to be an attorney?
I decided to become an attorney after a series of unfortunate events in which I had to go through a couple different legal situations that were not very pleasant. I was in my own car accident when I was 19 or 20. It's like getting hazy now. That seems like 18 years ago. But, I was in my own accident. I was seriously injured. And the legal process was very frustrating. And I was actually unable to walk. I was in a wheelchair for 6 months. And I, it was kind of like a life and death experience, which can dramatically change the course of your life when you're young. And then my boyfriend that I had throughout high school, that was a very serious boyfriend for me at the time. We had broken up, but then he got in a serious motorcycle accident and he ultimately died. And then the other thing that happened was I had my boss steal my identity and get involved in a federal lawsuit.
Okay, so pause just one second. when you said about, what was your boyfriend's name?
Pete. Yeah. I was with him when he bought that motorcycle, and I was not a fan of him buying that motorcycle, not because I'm not generally a fan of people buying motorcycles, but he was a risk taker and I just knew it wasn't a good combination, and he didn't want to wear a helmet. And so he was in a low speed crash, and because he didn't have a helmet on. So all of you out there that love motorcycles, helmets are really key. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't have the helmet on, he suffered a traumatic brain injury, which he couldn't really recover from. So, if you looked at my life when I was 22 years old, my life was not the greatest. But I think that it was the foundation for, me becoming who I was going to become. I can talk about these experiences in a way that some other lawyers can't. And, you know, when my boss stole my identity, that was the fun. That was like my final straw. I was like, I think the universe wants me to be a lawyer. And I've actually talked about this with some other people where they're like, you made the connection of you should be a lawyer from that. Some other people may not have felt that way, but that was how I felt. I felt like I need to take the bull by the horns and like get more powerful because all these things are happening that are very unpleasant and I'm having to hire lawyers and deal with lawyers and I want to be more in control. And so, yeah, so I went to law school knowing I would be a personal injury lawyer from day one, really. So that was a gift.
Well, I'm sorry that you went through all of that with the wheelchair and Pete and the identity. I mean.
But you know what, Chris? Like, I'm not. I know that sounds insane, but I'm not because those events shape my life, right? And we all have really bad stuff we've been through. I just don't think everyone's as public or like, I just share, like, that's really what happened to me. And I think your mess is your message often, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you take the bad things that happen to you and you can either make them great or you can let them consume you, right?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And so let's jump ahead a little bit about, talk to me about intake.
So, you know, being that I wasn't going to go be a lawyer right out of the bat or right out of the gate, I really was a business person. I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. I'm originally from New York. Mm-hmm. My dad owned his own businesses. And I went to business school, actually, before I went to law school. And I was in a marketing and finance major. So intake to me always made sense. Like, the lifeblood of your business is your new clients, your new customers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I would, in the initial stages of opening my firm, I was just like, every client matters, every potential lead matters, you know? And the volume was so low at the time that I could manage that on my own. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as your marketing activities increase, you know, the leads increase and the potential new clients are calling. And it always was obvious to me that you cannot miss a call because someone will move on. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was confusing back then because I would go work for law firms or I would meet lawyers that seemed to not have a handle on how seriously important the intake aspects of their firm were. Mm-hmm. You know, they let clients go to messages and answering machines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Call the, they would tell their secretary if a client calls, tell them I'll call them back. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, no. Mm-hmm. And ultimately you call those people back and they've already hired another law firm, right?
Yeah. And so I'm going to ask you a question. What is it like? I mean, I've been doing this for 30 years. And still now it hasn't changed. The picture has not changed that even with all the conferences and everything, the picture has not changed exactly what you just said. It hasn't changed. And I don't understand still, I'm still banging my head against the wall. Why would we have like one intake person, maybe, that answers the phone and doesn't really convert and they follow up. And then there's like, there might be 10 attorneys at that. I mean, what is it? Why? I don't get it.
I think it's a couple of things. And I think, you know, at the heart of it, what it is, it's that there's this arrogance that the, you know, the lawyers are the most important, you know, and it's the lack of deference to the value of the intake team. There's this also kind of like arrogance that a lot of lawyers have that if I'm a good enough lawyer, like nothing else matters, you know, like, oh, the leads will always be there. The calls will always be coming in. And I think, you know, I am always looking at it more from the client perspective. And I always like to also compare it to, like, let's just look at dental, because if you're a lawyer, you're in this field and it feels like it's, you're too in it. But if you call a dentist, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't call you back or they don't immediately schedule you, you're going to move on. Even if you heard they're a great dentist. I mean, there's a lot of great dentists out there. So, I always think that when the person takes the initiative to pick up the phone and call, that is when they're ready to like make a move. That's when they're in a decision mm-hmm. mode. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you miss that opportunity, you've got to get them back into that mode again. And it does. I remember the first time I ever called a lawyer, it's intimidating to call a lawyer's office. Because you're having to deal with something you probably don't want to be dealing with. People are naturally intimidated by lawyers and mm-hmm. the legal process in and of itself. And they feel kind of stupid. Like you're talking about things that they don't, it's way over their head. Mm-hmm. And so if they're at the point where they're calling you and then you're not making it a good client experience, you're not immediately telling them, yes, you have a potential case. Yes, you've called the right place. Yes, we're going to make your life easier. If you're not in that frame of mind, you're missing a big opportunity. And I think that a lot of law firms are not run by business people. They're run by lawyers. And lawyers just give deference to the legal team over the intake team.
Mm-hmm. Well, 100%. And so there's a few things that I think one of the things that could move the needle in the more positive direction for what we're talking about, like taking responsibility for intake, the humans that are actually running the firm by handling the calls, is just when you're figuring out your marketing campaigns that you're going to do, intake is one of on the checklist. Like whatever your checklist is for the whatever that is, intake's on there. Like, did we talk to intake? Do we have enough people? Do they know what the campaign focus is? Like they're part of marketing. They're on the marketing checklist. And so maybe if that was a requirement, then it will be looked at and talked about in little role play sessions. These are the kind of calls that you can expect. And so that's one.
Well, that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, what you're talking about is that, are the people prepared to deal mm-hmm. with the calls that are coming in? Like in my firm, we have a protocol that we're only signing these types of cases with this criteria, and there's these checklists, and you know, if it meets these, then it's going to yeah. be a case we can. And then we have a list for every case we don't take and what to do with those, where to refer them, what mm-hmm. should happen, what the client experience should look like. I mean, if you're talking about a general firm where the person has to go check, do we take this? Do we take that? That's an even bigger issue, because that's a training mm-hmm. issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still see that happening. There was a study that was done earlier this year, which somebody in our industry did, and it was about even answering the phone. Did you see that study? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So there was a study done where they cold called 1,100 law firms.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think only, it was some nominal number, called anyone back, you know, and they're saying that they have a valid case. Mm-hmm. So how I read that, if you're a lawyer, is mm-hmm. this is a huge opportunity mm-hmm. for you to win. If you mm-hmm. could just care about intake and do it on a pretty basic level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not rocket science, what we're talking about. I mean, it sounds like it's harder than it is. This is really pretty simple. When you say, I mean, you coach people on this every day, what you're teaching is not oh. hard, but it requires attention and time and training, right?
Yeah, it requires attention, but to kind of like go back to where you're saying it's not really that hard, is all you really need to do is not any special order, but listen to your call recordings. So get your calls recorded. There's no, you have no business doing marketing if you're not going to get your calls recorded, because listening to call recordings is like the marketing insurance policy. So listen to your calls, get them recorded, listen to them, share the results, but just have your screening questions. You really, with personal injury, it's only really four that you need to have is, you know, butt injuries and, you know, who's at fault and insurance and what is the other one? There's four of them. Fault, insurance, details of the accident.
For us even, we have even narrowed it down to really, you know, are you, you know, the very minimum, because you can overwhelm people by asking, don't you agree? Like if you say, well, I'm going to ask you 300 questions, you know, like person, you know, who's the emergency contact for, you know, your husband, like you can go really deep into the trenches, like just sticking to the basics that are required for us to evaluate whether you have a potential case. And I would rather err on signing the person and letting them go if it turns out that something came out on the police report that's, you know, unfavorable. But they just want, like, a lot of times they just want to know, do I even have a case? Like, and a lot of times we take that for granted. Like, we know they have a case. Mm-hmm. They just want, like, hey, I think you have a case based on these three things. You have an accident, you have injuries, it's not your fault, and it's within the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Likely you have a case.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into all the other details after we sign you up.
Right. So that's kind of keeping it basic. You just have your basic questions. Stop doing these things about license and social security number. Oh my God, please don't
health
even.
Health insurance card.
Yeah. Member ID, the license plate of the, please don't go there. Stop it. Just do these basic questions. Listen to your call recordings. Teach your team, empower them to convert. You don't want them to be afraid of you. And kind of like what Jen was just saying, is just let them convert. As long as check. Is it a gray area? Just let them convert. And then if it's something that we could have done differently, use it as a training moment. But you, the old school sales teams, that's what I miss. You need to have people that just convert. They don't get bogged down in the weeds with everything else and work their job, experience, follow the guidelines, and when in doubt, convert. That's the machine that you really have. And it is kind of basic and pretty easy to do. You just have to care enough about these people called intake and reception to do it. And the thing to remind everybody of is how you treat your intake team and your receptionist and your whole firm is 100% how they are going to treat your prospects and your clients.
Such a good point. That's such a good point. What do you think is the reason why you see the intake department understaffed?
So kind of like what we were just talking about a little while ago, the people that are making the decisions don't see the value of intake. They don't see the importance of intake because they're getting leads already. They're getting the leads and maybe greedy, you know, maybe in a sense of entitlement, like this is good. We're the leads that we have are good. The money that we're making is good and it's okay with them the way it is right now. So why look in their mind and try to change it and fix it?
I mean, I guess because I was a younger lawyer and I felt like nothing is going to be handed to me.
Mm.
I felt like every lead matters. Like, and I think that in the old days, maybe it was less competitive. I mean, I have a couple friends and mentors that were big TV attorneys and that, you know, they didn't measure anything. Things just came in. But like, let's just say they had 100 leads coming in and they were converting 20. They're thinking, okay, I'm 20 current. But what if the qualified leads was really 60? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, unless you're really looking at what you're, you cannot just look at conversions. You have to look at conversions against qualified leads.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say qualified leads, I mean, is a case that you would have wanted to sign, but mm-hmm. you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because until you see whether your conversion rate is good, you don't know, you know, whether you have an intake problem.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, go ahead.
No.
When you monitor the calls, just give feedback to your team. Tell them what they're doing good. Give them some quick lessons on what to do differently, and let them keep going. And treat them like gold. Make them important in your firm. Make them part of, take turns to be part of different department meetings so that they see that they're part of it. And teach the rest of the firm about intake so the rest of the firm respects intake and recognizes them. And the larger firms even know their names. they know who they are.
One thing that happened to us as our intake team grew, we have 5 people now full-time in intake, is that staffing intake was always like a pain point for us. So I wanted live answering as much as possible throughout the day and the weekends, because we saw a trend that a lot of people were calling after 5 and they're out of work. And, you know, there's no way that one intake person can man those hours. And so then you get into the situation where you're using like a backup answering service, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not, you have less control.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it frustrates the clients and you miss good calls and good leads. So we went to a situation where we're trying to staff the call, the lot with our team from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Sunday, you know? And in order to do that, when I looked at the hours, I mean, we had to have a minimum of 3 people. I mean, we started breaking it into shifts. So our intake team works different hours than the rest of the firm. Like there's a morning shift, an afternoon shift, and a weekend shift. And we started having to think outside the box and hire people that maybe didn't want to work traditional law firm hours. You know, normally legal team people, they don't want to work weekends, but intake people we needed. And we expanded our intake team to be even remote. And we've hired people all across the country in different time zones that maybe it's more convenient for them to work later, but they're in a different location, but it's a job that can be done remote.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You sometimes can find better candidates if you look cross country, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you're covering your phones with your own folks until 9 p.m. What happens after 9?
You know, then it rolls to their, it's a more on-call situation. So we get the answering service. We have an answering service that is dedicated to personal injury and can actually sign cases. There's a couple different companies like that now, but we have given them instructions that if certain things are said, that they call the on-call person, and that person sometimes, whether it's me, the intake manager, or an intake lead, will sometimes get on the call. Like we want to be notified if it's a wrongful death or, you know, certain cases. Our intake backup answering service also does sign a couple cases. I just don't think those people are ever going to be able to sell the firm at the level that we can, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I agree with you. And a few things came to my mind, but I just want to say that I think ultimately we have to embrace the fact that it's 24/7 and just embrace it and accept it. That's it. And do it with your own people. That's it.
As much as you possibly can.
Yeah. But if you think that you can do it, you'll do it. Nothing will get in the way. You will have all of your shifts covered by your people. If you start to think, yeah, but who's going to want to do it at 1 a.m. or you know, whatever the shit, then it's not going to work because you'll have reasons it won't work. Right.
And I agree with you. Like, I think that for our next level, we can get people that want to work the third shift, because I've been blown away by the people that want to work all weekend long. And we have college students that are really good at intake and sales that they just want to work the weekend because they're in college or whatever. And I'm flexible. They don't have to work a traditional, you have to expand your mind to say the intake people are not going to work traditional hours. Right. And even if you're really good, I would take a part-time intake person. I don't need them all to be full-time. If it's a, you know, they're a mom and they don't want to go back to work full-time. I mean, I'm really open to, you know, different creative solutions for intake, which causes people to have to think outside the box. But then the other thing I would say that we learned that we made a lot of mistakes on was once you start having 2, 3, 4, 5 intake people, you need an intake manager.
Oh yeah.
And you were describing listening to the calls and this and that. And what went through my mind is like, the owner of a law firm is usually pretty busy. And especially if they're carrying a caseload. And so they're thinking like, when do I have time to listen to all these calls and sit and train with them? And that's exactly what happened to me. So to solve that problem, we elevated one of our top intake people to the intake manager. And that person is responsible for auditing all the calls, having coaching conversations with each intake person. And also what we noticed was the intake people miss calls. And they make mistakes. And if there's no manager, you know, you'll never know. And so the intake manager is like, hey, did anyone see this come through? I see this got missed. And it's unreal. I don't think the owner is going to be able to do it.
Oh, no. No way. So definitely, absolutely not. I mean, you've got to, you know, you decided to be in this business. You've got to, if you're going to spend the money in the marketing, you've got to invest in having the intake team members. And if it's too soon for you, think to say manager, because that's a big position as far as title can, lots of things can come out by saying that to somebody. So it's better to maybe to start with like a team lead or something like that.
Yeah.
Let them practice and see how it works. And plus the other thing that I noticed what Usins do with our team is when we have really wonderful people, let's just say an intake, and they do such a good job. Solution, intake manager. Well, it doesn't
work. If you're not good at managing people, it won't work. They have to have the skill of being, because like you said, people that are really good at their job does not mean they're good at training other people to do it.
No. So just be careful with that. Don't cause a problem for yourself by doing the opposite. But 24/7, not just for inbound, you got to chase. People want to be chased. People need to be chased on the weekends.
That is a great point. If you, and you know this, I would say more than 50% of law firms don't have the firm staffed on the weekends for intake, right? And it could be even higher than that. And so, maybe they might be taking inbound calls, but nobody is following up with unconverted leads.
Everybody's
crazy.
It is very crazy. It's 24/7, everybody. It is 7 days a week, around the clock. Part-time is great because they don't get burnt out as easily. And it is a kind of job and a career where you can get burnt out. So go with part-time, but you've got to do inbound and you've got to do outbound and the chats and the web forms.
Yeah.
Human, and your own people.
Now,
it's the cost of marketing.
Do you think that, you know, the problems you see in intake are, you know, with the software and everything that people have now, like Lead Docket and Law Ruler, do you think that's helping?
Well, I definitely think it's helping, but only if you train them. I mean, you can't just. First off, you have to make sure that you're not going for the new shiny object, right? You went to a conference and everybody's talking about, okay, I'll do it. So make sure that you understand the reason you're doing it and does it make sense for you? But also don't do it if you don't have a plan in place to train people, to take care of them so that you're not spending tons of money and time trying to figure out all the problems later. It might not be the right CRM system for you, you know? So you got to, you still have to do your due diligence. You can't just kind of throw caution to the wind, right? That's what you need to do. Those are the things you want to focus on. So what last words do you have for everybody? What are some things that you want people to think about?
I think that what you said is like, your mindset around this stuff is really important. What you think you can or can't do is your limiter. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about like intake people get burned out, you know, that's just an opportunity to rethink about how we can do it in a way that people don't get burned out.
Right. Like,
if you have a mindset where you're like, I'm going to creatively solve every problem that I run into, you know, you're going to be more successful. My main hack in life is that I go find people that have the results that I want, and I try to learn from them and like observe them and be around them because they're doing things that are different than what you're doing.
So perfect. And so I'll add to that, that I learned that a long time ago from one of my mentors, not in the legal industry, Dan Kennedy.
Yeah.
And you know, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah. So back in the day when Dan, when Dan had his masterminds in his basement in Ohio at his house, I was there. And so, but the thing that I learned was, number one, act as if. Like whatever it is you want to be, don't wait in your head. You're already there. Just act as if now and lean forward. Nobody knows what you think and feel but you. And so if you are the best intake specialist ever, then when you introduce yourself on the phone, say it. Say it to that person. So the other lesson was, like you said, surround yourself with like-minded people, but even that you feel are X amount of notches above where you currently are. It might be uncomfortable at first, but again, only you know it's uncomfortable. They don't. Call them, talk to them.
I know.
Create an influential list.
And, you know, there's been times where I've been in circles where people are 10 times bigger than me. And I think to myself, how am I here? But I've found that if you can be a person of value and try to like provide value for other people more than they provide for you, like ultimately they will, you know, want to help you more. A lot of people say like, how do you get a mentor or whatever, you know, everybody needs something, whether it's a referral or, you know, a connection. Like I know a lot of different people. And if you're like, hey, I know this one person and I think you would make a great, you know, connection with this person, everybody, there's ways to provide value outside of money that can make you really memorable. And, you know, the same thing with the clients, even if you can't help them on the phone, if they leave the call, like you tried to help me, you gave me a referral, like we should always strive to provide more value to other people than they are giving to us.
100%. And so I'm going to leave everybody with a couple things, and then don't forget to tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Okay.
Okay. And every once in a while, I look at the clock because I'm trying to stay time bound for everybody. So number one is make a decision on what it is that your goal is, and then just go for it. Whomever you are, whoever is watching this right now. And a little bit a while ago, Jen said something like this. So the mindset that you want to have is, please, is how you can make X work, not how come it's not going to work for you, because that'll mess you up big time, and you don't need that. So you want to make sure that you do that. The other thing is stop learning from other law firms. Just stop it. Go out there and learn from Chick-fil-A and you know, all the other wonderful companies out there. Learn from them, not from other law firms. And then the other is run your law firm like as a sales business, because it is. Right? So Jen, how can everybody get in touch with you?
Everyone can get in touch with me. www.atlinjurylawgroup is our law firm, and my email, jennifer@atlinjurylawgroup. You can find me on all the social platforms, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn.
I gotta go check that out.
Yes. But yeah, Jen Gore Lawyer on Instagram. But yeah, I'm easy to find on the internet.
All right. Well, super. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you again real soon, everybody. So long. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you for tuning into Lawyers Tell All, where Chris Mullins takes you on a journey with lawyers in the trenches who show you the realities of what it takes to succeed in this chaotic, crowded, ever-changing profession. Remember to visit our website at www.lawyerstellall.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on Lawyers Tell All.